Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Here's the last thing I'll say. Load management is not nearly as prevalent as people think it is. I don't believe, and maybe I'm playing with words and maybe I'm cheating the system. I don't think load management and injury management are the same exact thing. I also think you have to pick a lane here. If you want, and I'll use the example of Paul George. If you want Joel Embiid would be a better example. You want the best example is Kawhi Leonard. You want Kawhi Leonard to be available for you in the playoffs. Okay, we have to manage his 82-game season correctly. If he winds up getting, well, he winds up getting hurt in the playoffs. There's no load managing Kawhi Leonard.
He's played a bunch of games and still got hurt in the finals. They've managed him throughout the season and he still gets hurt in the playoffs. Like, there's no hope with dope.
The other crazy load management guy is Zion, right? Where he won't play well. They wouldn't allow him to play back-to-backs last year. And what was a crazy stat? Al Horford hasn't played in back-to-back since like 2022.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it is, you know, you listen to the player, you listen to your body if you are the player, and you know what's best for you. Some guys can play. One thing that I feel like the Kings, for the most part, have gotten right with their personnel in the last few years, they don't have anybody to really load manage. Whether it's De'Aaron would get hurt, but there was times when he would play through it. Sabonis plays, DeMar DeRozan plays, Keegan Murray plays. Like, they don't really do a whole lot of load management as opposed to injury management. You know, like you just broke down. Like, these guys, since we've been doing this show, at least last 4 or 5 years, these guys play. So,
well, I also think, like, the new line with most team physicians and stuff is even most PT people, like, because we have Dr. P on all the time, and he's been very clear that, you know, that the research now shows that the faster you actually start exercising and trying, you know, as part of your recovery, the better. So even if it's a sprained ankle, yeah, you got a couple of days of swelling, but then get on it and start moving. And hamstrings, everything else, the research is telling them that the ideal situation is not to rest. It's to keep moving and keep trying to break up whatever's in there. And so I think a lot of teams, like, I've never really understood load management. I don't get going up against a team and the first 4 days of the season, 5 days of the season, and sitting, you know, even like Chet Holmgren had like a sore back or whatever. Okay. But I mean, if that was a playoff game, he's playing, and we're 5 games into the season. Now, I also think that players, if they are going to do the quote unquote load management, they should do it at home, especially for stars. Like, people, you know, bring their kids to go see LeBron James or Luka Doncic, and they spend a ton of money trying to get seats because he only comes to town once or twice, you know, depending on where you're at in the country. And if that player is not there after, you know, you bought tickets a month in advance and then he's not there just because he's not playing that night, that's a bummer. And, you know, that's something I think Michael Jordan had a really high amount of respect for, the fact that he was the biggest name in the sport and everyone knew, everyone wanted to go, you know, see him play. It's like right now trying to get a ticket to go see Lionel Messi in the MLS. Man, he rolls into San Jose and you're paying, you know, $800 for a ticket for an MLS game that usually sells for 50 or 60. That's just crazy. But that's what Michael Jordan was to the league. And I think the league is a little more diversified in his stardom at this point, where you're going to have, you know, a lot of different players come through that, you know, like one of the biggest draws in the NBA is LaMelo Ball. Mm-hmm. Like, who wants to see the Charlotte Hornets play? The answer is nobody. But there are so many kids that want to go out and see LaMelo that their parents are bringing them to the game. So that's where I think, you know, I think Michael Jordan did embrace the fact that he was a superstar of superstars.
Yeah.
You know,
and I absolutely respect that, even though I don't think he said anything last night. I absolutely respect that.
Yeah. The responsibility that comes with that, showing up every day and being there for, you know, someone who spent a lot of money and a lot of their hard earned money to watch you play.
I think for the most part, Steph does that. I think Steph really like takes into account his standing in the league, who he is, especially in the road games and even in the home games too. Like, if he can go, like, he's playing and he's showing up to perform because of that, because of I'm Steph Curry. Mike and those sit downs always talk about, I've got a responsibility to the game. Steph, I think he looks at it that way as well. Not that other people don't. I just, he's the one that stands out for me when I think about somebody who takes that seriously.
Well, he's a showman too. So if you show up to watch a Warriors game, it's like going to batting practice at a major league game before, you know, like a Mark McGwire would step out and start hitting home runs. You know, he's going to hit 30 home runs in batting practice. That's what I feel like Steph does. He comes out, he's kicking the ball, he's setting the ball, he's running halfway down the tunnel and shooting the ball from there and hitting it. Or if he misses, they throw him another one and he does it again. Like, he is the ultimate showman, and it's something I do respect too, because, you know, there are a lot of people who show up early. You should see how many people show up early for a Warriors game just to watch what he's going to do. This is, everyone's got their phone out, everyone's recording what he's doing. And it's kind of a cool aspect of the game that's, you know, not part of the actual game itself.
I don't think anyone's dying to see the Sacramento Kings team on a night-to-night basis. They're not driving up ticket prices. But they're in Chicago tonight. Zach LaVine's first trip back to Chicago, right?
Like, it is,
he came so late in the season last night. This got to be his first trip back to Chicago. So this team will look familiar to the fans at the United Center. But the Bulls, Hammer, have started out really well, and I'm looking at one matchup and one matchup only, and it's not fair to Domantas Sabonis, but I'm looking at Vooch versus Domas, and Vooch has played absolutely terrific the first three games of the season. I think he had 8 or 9 assists in their last game, 20 points per game so far. In the season, he's been great. This is a 3-0 basketball team. You're going to have some tough defenders over there. Like, you've got a lot going on if you're Sacramento. But I've got my eye on this Domantas Sabonis Nikola Vucevic matchup.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we need to have Domas start looking more like himself. I'm surprised he's not on the injury report at all today, after, you know, sort of flexing the knee last night. Keon Ellis is on the injury report. He's questionable with the shoulder issue. I think that's a great matchup of the night. You know, I think me and Jesse earlier, I took Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan against their former team. But Jesse brought up Domas, and maybe Domas not only against Vucevic, but just Domas against himself, because that's what it feels like right now. He's just kind of, he's trying to find himself. He's trying to figure out where he fits. He's trying to get in a rhythm, and he's really struggling to do that. But at the same time, he's a player that, even though he's not scoring a bunch of points, he is doing a lot of other things. So, you know, you have to respect the 18 rebounds. You have to respect that, you know, he gets back to normal a little bit physically, and all of a sudden he starts racking up that kind of total, and your team isn't getting out rebounded anymore. So that's a good thing. But Vucevic is a different beast. You know, he shoots the three ball really well. He gets in the pick and roll. They're a little depleted in their backcourt with Kobe White out, but yeah, it should be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, Chicago's a sneaky, sneaky good team, man, as far as talent-wise, the talent level on that roster. The one thing that I wonder, and maybe a guy like Domas and, you know, some of these other guys on the Kings team need is traditionally, and when I mean traditionally, I mean in the last couple of years, Chicago hasn't really been that good on the defensive end of the basketball. So maybe a team like this, you get Domas, you know, going by the fact that he doesn't have to deal with the OKC defense. He's dealing with a little bit more of a softer defense tonight, and you can start to get some better looks and feel good about himself out there.
I will tell you that I think right now Chicago is number two in the league in defensive rating.
Well, and okay.
They're holding their opponent to 26.3% from three and only allowing 7 made threes per game. Mm. Now, again, it's the small sample size police are here to say that's probably not sustainable. The Kings are second in the league in the lowest three-point percentage against. But that 7 threes a game is crazy that's all they're giving up at this point. I don't know if that's, you know, just a structure like a because of the teams they played or if they've just like whatever teams have missed. But it is worth noting. But I'd also tell you they've played Detroit, Orlando, and Atlanta. Those are the three teams that they've played, which are all playoff teams in the Eastern Conference or should be. And that's to me, the fact that they're playing that kind of perimeter defense is pretty solid. They also have a really weird lineup. Like their second unit's really tough. I like their second unit as much or more than their first unit. So,
I don't think that's something you will say about the Sacramento Kings. So, we were kind of having this discussion. Do you think they go with Russ again tonight? You think lineup wise that it makes sense to go with Russ given how he played last night? Given the line, now we can, you know, reassess this with Milwaukee and in Denver at the end of this trip, but. Given the way that Russ played last night, given the way Keon played, and given the matchup that they have, does it make sense to run Westbrook out back out there as a starter tonight?
Yeah, I think so. And I thought they played really well with Russ. They're going to have to figure things out and sort of get in a flow with Russ. But like, if you're just going to keep switching out players every single game, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I would point to the fact that Doug Christie cut his rotation back to like 8.5 guys yesterday, maybe not even that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And again, that's something that I've been telling you guys for a while. Like most coaches, when they're trying to figure things out, they cut the rotation down big time. And then, you know, if it's free throw, I mean, if it's foul trouble or someone's just having an awful night, then you might filter in an extra player instead of that person. But realistically, the rotation stays the same. Mm-hmm. I would not be shocked to see. I mean, it's the second night of a back-to-back. Maybe they have to expand the rotation a little bit. But it's also early in the season, and the Kings have 2 days off mm-hmm. after tonight's game. So this is a night that, you know, you're struggling, you're scuffling a little bit. You've lost a couple of tough games in a row. Can you, you know, tighten the rotation and just go for the win and then let the chips fall where they may tomorrow? You know, like as far as like players getting rest and everything else. Also, Chicago and Milwaukee, two of the closest cities in the NBA. They're not that far apart, even though they're in, you know, different states. They aren't that far apart. So, you know, the trip isn't going to be some brutal trip. They'll probably stay tonight in Chicago and sleep in, you know, the same bed they did last night and then make the trip tomorrow at some point. But still, they're going to get a couple of days of practice here and everything else. This is a game where you kind of go for broke if I'm Doug Christie.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
I agree with you. I mean, if, on this road trip, no disrespect to Chicago, but when you look at Milwaukee, you look at Denver, this feels like if you wanted to get one on this road trip, give your best opportunity to get one, it would be this one.
Against the 3-0 basketball team.
Right. This would be the one. And you mentioned this, you know, having the days off and stuff like that. Yeah, I'd go for it in a major way. And I like what you talked about, Hammer, and I agree with you. Cutting down that rotation a little bit. Like, when you're already playing guys that probably wouldn't play in a normal scenario, you give them a look, you give them an opportunity. But in certain situations, you got to cut that down. You got to cut that down and just go with the guys that you know would be playing regardless if there were injuries or not to get a win. You need to get a win here. You're 1-3. This is what we talk about trying to keep your head above water a little bit during this tough spell.
Yeah, 1-3, I'm going with what I know, not with what could happen. And so that means that I'm going with the guys that are seasoned veterans that know exactly what they're doing, and I can rely on them to go out there and do the job that I'm asking them to do. And, you know, again, if you get in foul trouble or if you start getting blown out or something, you know, then maybe you broaden the rotation a little bit. But you got to get a win, because this could really, really play out to be like an 0-4 trip if you don't get one today. So not an easy task at hand. And it's, you know, what we've talked about forever. That first 19 games is just extremely difficult for Sacramento. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, you know, another big subject of conversation today, Hammer, was the Doug Christie press conference. The 6 minutes was kind of brought down to that one quote about, you know, we could be 4-0, but we're not ready to be 4-0. We stole 90 seconds from everyone's time to play that clip in a more complete context, and we absolutely understood what Doug was saying. I didn't agree with everything Doug said there, but that's not really the point. I understood what message, we both understood what message he was trying to get across. What did you think of DC's remarks last night after the game?
Yeah, I haven't listened to them all the way in their entirety, but I get the sentiment. Like, look, this team isn't that far away. I mean, we can talk about, you know, you lost by 7 to 2 teams in a row, or 6 or 7, right? 6 one night, 7 the next. Mm-hmm. But those games were one possession games with a minute left. Like, these aren't like really, you're in every single game, and you can even say, like, they're a lot closer to 0-4 than they are 4-0, you know, but you get the lucky bounce here and there for yourself. You know, Sabonis gets a big rebound, the putback, and you beat that Utah Jazz team. I think that they've looked like, again, they're just missing just a little bit. It sometimes it's the dirty work. Sometimes it's just a little slow on a rotation. Sometimes it's the disconnect on who's going to be the guy and the focal point and all that stuff. But I do think that they're really close to winning games. But how many years have we talked about, you know, sort of the process? So first you got to compete, then you got to figure out how to win games. and figure out how to close games in crunch time. They're getting beat by teams that either A, focused on one player like the Lakers did, and same thing with Utah where it was close, or the same thing with Phoenix where they just went to Devin Booker to rescue them. Or you're getting, you know, like the game last night where the Kings just did not come up with their end of the bargain, right? Down the stretch. They made mistakes. You know, again, you know, as much as I defend Domantas Sabonis, like you can't just have Lu Dort walk up and steal a rebound from you, just take it from you, like in crunch time. That can't happen. But, you know, neither can, like what Kenny, you talked about earlier, the play where Sabonis had a small pin down underneath the basket, and instead of passing it to him, DeMar DeRozan took a 3-pointer with a whole bunch of time on the shot clock. It's like, look, nobody's playing to their potential right now, but individually they are. A lot of them are. And so that's where you're trying to convert this whole individual thing into a team concept that makes sense and equates to winning. And they still have to figure out that sort of ingredient.
Do you think that the best way to be able to figure those things out with a new group of guys is in practice or in games?
Well, there is no practice. That's the problem. I mean, again, when you're playing, what is today? Today is Wednesday. This will be their fifth game, and the season opened on Wednesday last week, right? So you're playing every other day and sometimes back-to-backs. Like, you can't expect to get a lot done in practice. What you need to do is you need to get these guys on the court. And I also think that's why, like, wasting 6 or 8 minutes on this guy and 4 minutes on this guy and 7 minutes on this guy right now, that's not the right thing. Right now is, hey, who are my 8 or 9 guys that I can depend on? And let's get them flowing. Because once they start to have a rhythm and they start playing well together, you can show somebody on the bench, are you looking in at the player that you're going to go in and replace? I need you to do exactly what he's doing. I need you to function like he's doing what he's doing on the court right now. And right now, they're just not at that spot. Doug is searching almost every game, just hoping that he'll catch somebody who's on a heater and can, you know, help them survive a 4 minute stretch or a 5 minute stretch. And it, like, to be honest, it hasn't happened most of the time. Again, I don't understand the Drew Eubanks plus minus, like what you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Because I watch the score go sideways every time. I don't know how it's possible he's running a plus, you know, on the season or even like in an individual game. Because I'm watching and I'm like, this game is slipping away as soon as they pull Domas off the court. And, you know, as soon as they pull Zach LaVine off the court, it gets a little dicey. Like, people understand what DeMar DeRozan does, and, you know, he's very difficult to stop. He doesn't have a gravitational pull to him. You can keep one guy on DeMar. He's going to score no matter what, but it's like slow. It's methodical. Everyone, you know, else on the court is kind of like standing around waiting for the shot to go up. With, you know, a guy like Zach, you don't know if he's going to go to the basket. You don't know if he's going to pull up from three. You don't know if he's going to, you know, dribble drive and pull up from 18 feet. Like, the same with Malik Monk. There's a variance to him. The Kings just have, like, they're dribbling way too much. They're not relying on each other's skill sets yet. They're just relying on their own individual ability to either score or even defend. And they're not working as a team. So until they figure that part out, and again, it just takes time. And people don't want to hear it, but when Domantas Sabonis misses the last 10 games building up to the season, that matters. When Russell Westbrook signs a couple of days before the season starts, that matters. Like, these are integral parts to your system, and it's not just how they interact with the players around them. It's like, how do they interact with everything? Like, you know, who's calling the defensive play calls when Domas is out? Who's getting rebounds when Domas steps off the court? Like, all of these things matter. And I think a couple of their players, it matters less. Like Russ, he just goes and does whatever he wants to do, and that's fine. And it's the same thing with Malik. But other players, they rely on systems. They rely on other people getting them open or other people finding them in the right spot. And those are the guys that, you know, you have to figure out ways to integrate into this system as well.
That's interesting. I've heard the term system quarterback be used as an insult in the NFL. Mm. Like, this player is only good with Andy Reid. They're only good with Bill Walsh. They're only good with Kyle Shanahan. Mm. Is a system player in the NBA bad?
Doesn't have to be.
Is Domas a system player?
Yes.
Oh, I would agree that Domas is a player you have to build a system around. It's like I said this forever. Like, people always think that I don't like specific players, but that's not it. Like, Davion Mitchell would fit in this current King system. He did not fit in any other system that they've had the last 4 years. That would not have, he would not have been able to, like,
explain
ever
that,
thrive.
Explain that further. Why would Davion Mitchell fit right now with this group?
Because this is an isolation, one-on-one game that they're playing. And Davion Mitchell is perfectly fine playing that style of play. He's even fine playing that style of defense. He loves man-on-defense. Where Davion gets lost is in switching defenses. Where Davion gets lost is in a motion offense where he's supposed to not just stand in one spot, but sit there and float and make sure he's in the perfect spot for a pass to come. His brain shuts off a lot of the time because he's either got the ball in his hands and he's ready to go, or when he doesn't know what to do. And it's something that, like, my first seasons covering this team, like, Tyreek Evans was the ultimate version of that. Like, when the ball isn't in front of him on the defensive side of the ball, he falls asleep and gets beat on the back cut all the time. And you're like, man, you are such a good defender. What is going on? And I had one of the assistants at one point said, he plays defense like he's waiting for a bus. Like, if the ball isn't in front of him, then he's just standing there kind of looking around. Like, look, the guy's dribbling over there. And so that's where I think, you know, Davion was learning how to be a better, like system defender, mm-hmm. but he wasn't. He was not a good team defender. He's a great individual defender. And picking up 94 feet, man, he would be perfect for the system. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact that he never really got comfortable as a three-point shooter, and a lot of it was just because he wasn't comfortable where he was on the floor. He wasn't comfortable not having the ball. So I think, you know, it's great that he's in Miami because he's totally thriving and he has good games and he has bad games just like any other player, but he's a major cog to their system already. And that's what I kept saying, like, send him to Toronto, send him to Miami, even a team like New York that does a lot of that isolation basketball. That's fine. They're good players in that system, but you got to know what your system is, and you can't draft players that don't play that type of system. You got to watch the tape.
We'll come back. We got much more with our Kings Insider from the Insiders. It's James Hamm with D'Lo and KC as we're counting down to the second night of a back-to-back for the Sacramento Kings. They're in Chicago tonight, coming up at 5 o'clock. It's D'Lo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
All right, we're back here with James Hamm. as we get ready for Kings basketball coming up at 5 o'clock, second night of a double. Nope, it's not a doubleheader. It's the second night of a back-to-back. They don't play doubleheaders in basketball.
I mean, you're just playing a different team.
Well,
it's a doubleheader without a different team. Or with a different team.
You know what's a doubleheader is? We were talking about that. You referenced it a minute ago. That 8 o'clock game, isn't that the first night of a back-to-back? That 8 o'clock NBC game, isn't it the first night of a back-to-back?
The Warriors play tonight? Or the Clippers do?
Wait, say what?
Oh, you mean when the Kings play?
No, yeah. It's the first night of a back-to-back.
They play Atlanta after that.
That is ridiculous. That is just ridiculous.
That game was
late. You know what? Adam Silver deserves to lose his job. Because of these 8 o'clock starts, nobody is here for these 8 o'clock starts.
That game,
it's Denver. It's Denver at Sacramento on the 11th. By the way, plan accordingly. We're off the 11th. We're literally not allowed to work on that Tuesday. And then they host the Hawks on Wednesday at 7. That's the doubleheader.
Can't wait. I'll be at Doco for pregame festivities at 7.
Why are we off that day?
It's Veterans Day, and, well, we'd have to dig too far deep into the books to say why we can't work, we're not allowed to work on that day. I literally just inquired about it seconds ago. So we will come to work on Monday the 10th. We will not come to work on the 11th, and we will be back to work on the 12th because this is stupid.
All right. Well, that's good for me. At least I don't have to drive down 2 days in a row and... Yeah.
Oh, shut up, James.
Nobody cares. You're kidding me? An 8 o'clock back to back, 8 o'clock all by
sucks. You're going to get home at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, I am. And then I'll have to be back at the station for 8 o'clock at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Got it, buddy.
And then do it all again the next night. And then the third day, there's nothing left of me. Yeah.
What's your damn shame? Poor what James. Happened to James Hammy?
32 hours worth of work in 2 days, and then you got to be back the next morning. It's usually tough.
Yeah. Back to Domantas Sabonis. We both said, I think all three of us are anxious to watch this Vooch and Domas matchup tonight. So much hammer today has been, is Domas hurt? Does he not fit the system player? Like, I think you're of the belief that the players around Domantas Sabonis don't work the best with Domantas Sabonis. Is that fair?
Oh, I think that's fair. Well, I mean, it's an overabundance of a similar type of player that is more the problem. Like, you know, you guys bring this up all the time. It's the original Batman. You don't mix the deodorant and the hairspray. Yeah. Like, the Kings have too many self-creator guards, you know, whether you want to call DeMar a guard or not, same thing. Self-creator guys that need space, but it's now Russell Westbrook. It's now, you know, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan. You don't have enough guys who are just pure shooters. And so that's something. And then, you know, I think the other thing is, like, look, watch the way the handoffs are going. Watch the way he's setting screens for players. Like, I haven't seen anything like it where a player literally has to change how he's handling every single player around him. So, like, I think Russell Westbrook, Malik Monk, both are totally fine getting downhill with Domas in the pick and roll. Like, rolling to the basket, finding him, rolling to the basket, having him finish around the rim, all that stuff. But then watch Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder can't do it. So they have to give the ball to Dennis. And then Dennis is using the screen as a high pick and roll. And so it's just a different way of dealing it. They're inverting the DHO, right? So I think it's really interesting to watch because you don't typically have a system that everyone plays within the system. But early in the season, they're literally having to change sort of the dynamic of every single type of dribble handoff or type of exchange between the big man and whichever guard is running the possession. And I think it's led to like confusion sometimes. Again, like we've watched enough Zach LaVine that watching him turn the ball over 4 times in the first quarter was just egregious. Like I haven't seen that from him. And it's a one-off. It's why it like stood out so much. And some Bulls fans, oh, you don't know Zach LaVine. He does that all the time. Yeah, I don't think he does, because his turnovers per game and stuff aren't like crazy. But you could see him, most of those turnovers came in the two-man game while he was trying to work with Domas. So I think, you know, Kenny, you brought this up yesterday that, you know, the ball has to be in Domas's hands for him to be effective. I don't believe that to be the case, but he has to be part of the play, because, you know, we talk about how you engage everybody by passing the ball around, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he's never going to be on the perimeter as a potential 3-point shooter that you just kick to, and then he goes and sets a screen. Like, he's not that guy, mm-hmm. where you have to get him engaged that way. Like, he can be extremely effective and efficient at like a 23, 22 usage percentage. He doesn't need a 28 or 30 usage percentage to still have the same impact, but you have to have him involved. And, you know, again, we're talking about a player who doesn't naturally take people off the dribble and go to the basket, unless it's like in a pick and roll situation where he just decides to roll the other way and take somebody off the dribble and get downhill. Like, we see that on occasion with Domas, but for a guy who can bring the ball up the court like he does and all that, he does not break someone down off the dribble very often. And that, again, it's just the type of player he is, and you have to play to his strengths just like you have to play to everybody else's strengths. So I think in a perfect world, you'd have more shooters on this team. The fact that they're hitting right now is great, but I also worry about the laws of averages with their shooters, because, you know, it's great to see a guy who's shooting 50%, but if he's a 30% shooter for his entire career, I'm going to start talking about small sample sizes again, because we know that eventually they're going to come back to closer to who they are. Even if it's an improvement, it'll be like 3%, not like 8 or 10.
Well, Kevin Huerter showed us it might not be till the following year. Oh,
there's that. Yeah. Kevin Huerter.
It may never happen again. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, great. My mistake. No, Kevin Huerter's fantastic. I love the guy. What a loss for the city of Sacramento.
Haven't been the same since.
I saw Kevin Huerter guy, but he wasn't Kevin Huerter guy.
Yeah.
See, it's super like sad.
Seeing Kevin Huerter guy out of his costume was mortifying.
Oh, man.
It's just really sad. You feel for him the whole time.
Just awful. It's like, hey, that's... Oh...
I'm just glad he hasn't tried to become James Ham guy. That would be really awkward.
Kevin Huerter guy, you know the assignment.
Yep. I'm going to do it. Just need a couple quarter zips, a little college shirt underneath.
You got to have the bar kit everywhere he goes, though.
Got to.
Yeah,
Lulu pants. Yep.
James is like, did someone say they need a drink? And then, like, pulls out his...
Oh, I have a bar kit in my car.
I know you do, James. We all know that you do.
Hell yeah. I don't hear you complaining when I bring you drinks.
No, I'm not complaining.
Not at all. I'm not.
I said, James, I did not say this was a bad thing. Like, how did he brought that last one? How did James make this old fashioned here? Well, he's got a bar kit in his car. Of course he's.
I do. I have a roll out bar kit in my car. Yeah, it's spectacular.
You gotta love it.
Amazing.
It's like a canvas bag, like this big, people. Like, it's not like
it's Dexter big. When he rolls out all those knives that he uses.
Very Dexter-esque.
Dexter. I haven't tapped into Dexter. I heard it gets crazy.
Dexter's really, really good. It's odd.
I heard it is a good show.
It's very odd that the serial killer is the babyface, but it's a really good show. Terrible ending. Just a god awful ending.
It's like,
but a really good show.
Ending it again.
They brought it back and tried to fix it, and it still wasn't good. But
it's not the same thing because he's not the star of the show. But is he like, what was his name? Hawk in Scandal? He's the one that would close everything
Hawk.
Out.
Yes. But Huck was trying to quit. Dexter was not.
Dexter's in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a code. Yep.
Oh, that's true. That's true. There was a code to Dexter.
Okay.
Yes.
You got it's a good show.
Well,
it's
heard it gets show. Crazy though. That's why I
Well, no, it gets crazy.
With the way he finished the people off.
Hey, I'm just kidding. What?
Then when he kills them.
Oh. Oh, Jesus.
The way he what? bro.
Wait, what?
Come on, Carmelo, relax.
Come on,
Vince
bro.
Carter over there, chill out. What are you doing?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I'm just, I have to do this to Jordan. Jordan, hey, bro, James never rolls with maraschino cherries. We're much higher in cherries than that, bro. This isn't some podunk rollout bar kit. Like, it's legit.
It's the real deal.
We don't, we don't play with the cheap cherries there.
That's
bro.
One of my favorite things ever, that James is insulted by the cheapness of the cherries.
Maraschino cherries my ass. Like, they ain't Luxardo. They're not going in my old fashioned. What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
So about that Kings and Bulls game tonight.
See where Kevin Herter got us. No. Talking about Dexter.
No. In any event. All right, so we've covered the Domantas Sabonis part of this. We've covered the starting lineup part of this. We've covered the Russell Westbrook part of this. What do you think about Keon Ellis? Not just last night, but over the stretch of these four games this season. He's been asked to do a couple of different things, and I'm not sure how much of it has necessarily gone well. Like, I think you used the, I think you said this earlier today, Ham. It feels like maybe Keon is like searching. He's just like he's out there when he's on the court. It's like he's just searching.
Yeah, it kind of feels like he's on roller skates a little bit, right? He's a little out of control. He's flying by the play. He's back in the play. Windshield wiper defense. I do think that, you know, like I called him last night an agent of chaos on Twitter. And I believe that to be true. Like, when he's at his best, he's all over the court. So when they started running that 2-3 zone and it was him and Devin Carter at the top, just like bouncing around and, you know, causing problems, that's when Keon's at his best. And I also feel like, you know, he had 12 points last night. I don't want to talk about how many points he had the night before, two days before, but he looks like a player who is under full understanding that he's playing for a contract, whether it's with the Kings or someone else. And so, like, it's very simple in the league. You get paid by scoring, and that's how you get paid. You know, I brought this up a bunch of times, but was it Matt Harpering? Is that who it was? Is that who the Utah Jazz? He used to say, like, hey, I couldn't get paid. And then I went out and averaged 17 and a half points per game and got my money. And then I went right back to the player I was before, because that was a player that was effective and good. The other player was just trying to get paid. And that's the game. And you gotta, you know, understand the dynamics of the game, but also, like, Keon has a lot of weight on his shoulders. You know, if he's not playing, I know Kings fans are moaning and groaning and pissed. Just think what Keon is, because that dude is literally an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year who wants to get a bag. And the fact is, like, if he doesn't get to play enough, he's not going to get paid. There are teams out there that know exactly who they think he is and are probably going to still pay him mid-level exception money, but he's got to play and he knows it. And so I expect him to calm down a little bit, because that's what it feels like. He's too amped up. He's playing on roller skates. He's moving too fast. And it's just, he's flat out, he's trying too hard. And eventually I think he'll calm down.
You know, James, we talked about it a little bit, and it's not to ignore, you know, what we see or what you think of this team or the roster constructions or anything. But when we talk about Keon, when we talk about Domantas Sabonis struggling on the offensive end, we talk about this team, you know, having whatever their point differential is in the fourth quarter, all this other stuff. It could just be a bad week. Like, that happens all the time in an NBA season. It happens in the middle of January and nobody really freaks out because you've got a sample size of X amount of games to be like, well, this isn't necessarily who they are. It's just kind of what's been going on. It's all possible that all this stuff is just a bad week, a bad combination of injuries, trying to get, you know, acclimated to a new season, and just shots aren't falling for Domas this week. He'll bounce back, you know, tonight, starting tonight or something like that. It could just be that.
Yeah, and like, look, I think it's the first four games of the season. Like the panic, like the Kings have been highly competitive. They haven't got curb stomped once. They haven't got just boat raced by a team. They've made mistakes in crunch time, and those are things that happen with teams that are newly assembled. And we can talk about, oh, well, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan played together before. Like, a lot of these guys were here last year. It's like, okay, yeah, but Russell Westbrook is really different. Dennis Schroeder is very different than anyone that you had last season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason why everyone kept saying you needed a point guard is because you needed a point guard, and all of a sudden you got one. And that's what a point guard looks like. You know, he's not like the biggest pass-first point guard we've ever seen or anything. But still, like, functionally, you didn't have that type of player last year to end the season. And even De'Aaron Fox is not that type of player. He's a guy who averages 25 a game. He's not a guy who averages 12 to 14 a game and, you know, 5-6 assists. So, like, there are a lot of dynamics in play here. New coaching staff, new training staff. Like, there's a ton of changes that have gone on behind the scenes that people don't even normally, you know about. But like, at the same time, like, it's sometimes it takes time to gel. And more than anything, I think that I keep bringing up this point, but when you go up against, you know, again, an Austin Reeves and a Shea and a, you know, Lauri Markkanen and Devin Booker, those have all kind of been the guy for their team. And maybe Austin Reeves is one exception. But he's not, because anytime that LeBron was out, he would step up. Anytime that Luka's out, he steps up. Now Luka and LeBron are out, he steps up. It's easier to have a singular force be the guy driving you in one game than it is to have try to piece it together with a whole bunch of people that don't know each other that well. And that's where I think, like, just the advantage of playing against, you know, a team like the Kings, who are still trying to piece it together. When I look at the Bulls, I feel the same way about the Bulls as I do with the Kings, except for I think the Kings are way more talented than the Bulls. So, like, you're going to go into a game where they don't have a 1A, they don't have a 1B, they might have a 2, but probably not even that. Kobe White could be a 2 and he's not playing. Like, Giddey is the third best player on a decent team. Maybe a fourth best player, you know, and he's probably their best player right now, you know? So the difference is they figured out roles and ways to win games, and the Kings haven't yet.
Is this where the Billy Donovan versus Doug Christie thing will come into play? Like, Donovan's been he's been coaching for a long time.
No, I agree. But like, at the NBA level, he hasn't really been good at all. You know,
he hasn't
so,
been bad. He's not like Billy Donovan's not a bad coach.
Well, he was the coach.
He coached Oklahoma City. Absolutely. But he did. Cole fired him on this show.
That's right.
Cole fired Billy Donovan on this show. I thought it was crazy when he did it, and Billy Donovan was fired like a day later. Making a move.
He fired Billy Donovan. You retired Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, this show is crazy.
Yeah, I guess, you know, again, like the last – all of his time in Chicago, he's had one winning season, but three other years where it's 40, 39, 39. Yeah, he's had one winning season, a 31 and 41 in there too. He was okay. He was good at OKC. He did win games. You know, at OKC, he threw up a win percentage of 608. His time in Chicago, it's been a 491. But yeah, I don't know. Like, Billy Donovan is a great college coach for sure. He's a solid NBA coach at this point. Like, he's kind of proven to be that. He has a lot more experience than Doug. But it doesn't mean, I don't know that it means that much. Like Doug's biggest problem is not what Billy Donovan has. Billy Donovan's problem is, Billy Donovan's problem is he doesn't have enough talent. Mm. Doug Christie's problem is he has a whole bunch of talent, but they're all guys who have been like number ones on their team in the past, or number twos, and they're still expecting that regardless of age or anything else. And so you can't have a whole bunch of dudes who think that they're the guy. And that's going to be Doug's biggest challenge this whole time. We talked about the biggest challenge was going to be him telling a player he's got to go to the bench now. I don't think that that's the biggest challenge. That'll take care of itself eventually. His biggest problem right now is like, how do you develop a pecking order with these guys and some sort of, you know, structure for them to play within. And I'm not talking about offense. I'm talking about like who, like shot distribution type stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to wrap up.
Yeah. You're good. Yeah.
I don't know what to expect tonight, to be honest. I kind of, like, if I'm being completely honest, they played better than I expected last night. And I think those types of losses, when you play that well for that long, and we're really talking, I think they played really, really good basketball for probably like 42, 43 minutes. They played good basketball for another like three minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it just got really bad in the final, you know, three-ish or so minutes. And I know we often use this term as like a negative. They might be a little desperate tonight. Mm. Desperate for their own psyche to get a win. Like you they want you to believe they don't. Mm-hmm. They know Milwaukee's next. They know Denver's next. Golden State is right out. It's not like they come home and it gets easy. I don't even know what easy looks like in this league anymore. No. But it doesn't get better when they come home. Like, they have to find a way, regardless of who's on the schedule, be it Oklahoma City, be it Charlotte, or be it Chicago tonight, they've got to find a way to get a win.
Yes.
And they've got to find a way to get wins. And that'll begin tonight in just about an hour when they take on the Chicago Bulls at the United Center in Chicago. And we will be back to cover it all, beginning with the insiders. James Hamm, Jesse Tapia filling in again tomorrow for Kyle Mattson. So we'll be with you 10 a.m.
Kyle Mattson is back.
Kyle Mattson is back. Wow, that's Kyle Mattson's music.
What the hell is he doing here?
The insiders will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam. Vamos Blue Jays.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.